Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, our subject today is, are you ready for this? Sexuality. I think I first became interested in the subject at the age of 3. Just kidding. But it's not an easy subject to talk about, but necessary. The reason why we must be careful about this is because of the warnings in Scripture. Let me show you. But before I do that, let me tell you this, that I'm really going to divide this into two parts. We're going to talk about what happens if there is no moral intelligence when it comes to sexuality. But then I'm going to go to the subject of how moral intelligence affects sexuality. So it's sort of like it's two parts. In fact, take a look at my screen, if you would. Our subject today, how moral intelligence affects sexual intelligence. Now, you also need to know that it might be in two parts, or this is certainly the first part, and we may tie them all together and you may get the whole thing all in one shot, but who knows for sure. Whatever the case is, if you only get part one, it's not sufficient. You really need to get part two. I'm going to give it to you as best we can, but if it gets too long, we might divide it up. It's going to be your call. But what's important, I'm not sure there's a more appropriate subject that needs to be discussed today in our present cultural situation than how moral intelligence affects sexuality. But there's a couple of warnings that we must heed just before we begin. So let me show them to you. Here's what the Lord says to us. He said, I want you wise concerning that which is good. In other words, I want you to know everything there is about being good. Now watch this. But I want you simple concerning evil. I don't want you to know too much about evil. Now there are obviously a lot of good reasons for that. And it's sort of beyond our purview today. But if we get too exposed to evil, we get desensitized. And then pretty soon what was evil doesn't even look evil anymore. So overexposure to evil has a downside. Let's look at another scripture. Have zero fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't go along with evil, but rather reprove them. Okay? Now watch here. For it is a shame, have you got that? It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. This makes my task today require almost surgical precision. Because we're going to have to talk about what the problems are, but we don't want to give the details of those things that are done in secret. It's a shame to talk about those things which are done of them in secret. Look at them. On the other hand, but all things are reproved. And watch this now. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Ah, so that's what we want to do. What we really want to do is we want to get the light on this subject without getting down in the dirt and in the mud of it. To be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil. So I'm asking you now to join me in this pursuit as we discuss the subject now of how moral intelligence should affect sexuality. Before we get to that effect, which is really part two, I want us to spend a few moments to understand what happens when there is sexuality without moral intelligence. So let's look at a couple of things. First of all, I want you to realize that that sexuality without moral intelligence causes the greatest need we have today for cultural recovery. It's stunning what's going on. So look at the scriptures with me now. They told you there would be mockers in the last time. Now, watch it now. Who should walk after their own ungodly lust. They aren't just mockers and scorners. They're doing what they do driven by their lust. These be they who, watch this now, separate themselves from moral intelligence. Okay, watch this now. They separate themselves sensual. Their focus is a sensual focus, and they have not the Holy Spirit of God. So you see, that's what we're really dealing with. A generation, a culture, a national situation that is being basically overcome by scoffers and mockers who are all oriented to sensual and sexual things. I'm reminded, I went to a school one time to speak. It was a Christian school. And I told a story about a little boy that was wanting to play with his father. And I only soon got those words out of my mouth when a bunch of the kids in the audience started to laugh. I didn't get it. They got a sensual focus from the idea of the boy wanting to play with his father. And of course, you can imagine what happened to me at that point. I mean, I turned radical. I mean, can you imagine? Because here's what the scripture says. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled, everything is defiled. They can't look properly. In fact, one scripture talks about the generation of men whose eyes are full of adultery. They can't help themselves. It's an obsession. Now, I want to take you back to the same scripture for a moment, but I want to give it to you in a translation, and I'm going to use a translation, usually the Message, sometimes the Living Bible, but I'm going to probably use it extensively because the Bible presents truths about every subject, including sexuality. I'm going to show some of that to you. But the Bible always does it in such a refined and dignified way. Cool, culturally tuned to normality. Now the problem is that when I speak of scriptures from the King James, the authorized version, the one that we've proven is the factual one, most people may not, or a lot of people may not get the meaning because and that's why I want to use a translation to kind of contemporize it, if you please. But I never use a translation that says something different than what the scriptures say, but says it in a way that the culture may get it. So here we go. Scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. Okay, now watch. Agitators, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit, and destitute of any higher spiritual life. And that's who's running the show in our culture today. It's why we are all under this pressure to and remember that scripture, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's what we're about to do today. We get our minds straightened out on this subject, and let's not let the world, as J.B. Phillips' translation says, squeeze us into its mold so we don't end up thinking like these scoffers think. That's what's really important. So the first thing I wanted you to understand is that sexuality without moral intelligence creates the greatest need for cultural recovery for us today. Secondly, sexuality without moral intelligence. Are you ready? Causes the rejection of God, which leads to perversions. Let me talk about this just for a moment. When any culture, when any person for that matter, rejects God, they reject everything that God stands for. Huh? So you can't be against God and be in favor of things he is against. This just doesn't go together. So sexuality without moral intelligence requires a rejection of God, and the rejection of God causes moral perversions. So here we go. This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other heathens do in the vanity of their mind. Watch now. Having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Sexuality without moral intelligence blinds the heart. Look at us now. Here's a translation. There is no going along with the crowd. The empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they have lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. But it goes on. So let's go back to King James now. Because they get into this condition which described as being past feeling. They have no more feeling for moral intelligence anymore. And here's why. They have given themselves, look at that, given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. So let's take a look at this word lasciviousness. It means lust, lewd, wanton, disobedient, unruly, naughty, undisciplined, ungoverned, unmanageable, in fact, rebellious. But this is the one I want you to get. That's what lasciviousness is. And remember this, who being past feelings about this, they don't feel guilt, they don't feel remorse, they don't feel any restraint anymore. Yeah? They're past feelings. Why? Because they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, sensuality, right? And why do they do this? So they can work all uncleanness and greediness. Uncleanness. Morally and spiritually unclean. Sinful. Sexually corrupt. And what does it mean, greediness? But to have an inordinate or insatiable longing, a covetous desire for something that should not be. Who being past feeling, now watch this, because sexuality without moral intelligence causes the rejection of God, because he stands for moral intelligence, right? And the rejection of God and moral intelligence leads to perversions. And so they're gone away from their past feeling, and now they've given themselves over. In fact, let's go to the translation. They can't think straight anymore. They can't. They're so bound by this thing, right? They can't think straight anymore. They feel no pain, no remorse. They let themselves go, watch this now, in sexual obsession, and they become addicted to every sort of perversion. Oh, therein lies the problem. Now, the scriptures are going to tie this, and I want you to really catch this, because at the core of all this issue is the rejection of God. So let's go back to the scripture. Because that when they knew God, they once upon a time knew God. Let me pause here for a moment. Every man starts out with a knowledge of God. Man didn't start with animism, polytheism, monotheism, and then arrive at a knowledge of God. Man started with a knowledge of God and has been going backwards ever since. Okay? So here's the scripture. But they once knew God. But when they did, they didn't applaud. They glorified him not as God, and they weren't thankful for his moral intelligence. Watch now. So what happened? They became vain in their imaginations. Ooh. Their foolish heart darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now what does a fool do? Watch this now. They changed the glory of the morally intelligent, uncorruptible God. Ready? Into an image, making like corruptible man. We think God's like us. So instead of God making us in his image, we've decided to make God in our image. Yeah. So what happens? God says, okay. He pled with them. His spirit convicts them. There are all kind of roadblocks on the road to hell that he sets up. But eventually God, there's no point because they're committed to sensual immorality and to the rejection of moral intelligence. So what did God do? So God gave them up to their uncleanness. And what did their uncleanness come from? Through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, I tell you, probably the hardest and most difficult thing is when a person gets into a condition where they can't feel anymore. Can't feel. No convictions about right and wrong. Good and evil, truth and error, facts and lies. Given up, can't feel anymore. They're so obsessed, they've lost their feeling. And so what do they do at this point? They change the truth about God into a lie. I'm going to come back to that scripture. Don't worry about it. They changed the truth about God into a lie. They took the moral, intelligent truths of God and said, taboo, not any longer. It's like they gave God the finger and they deny what God is really like. Watch it now. They change the truth of God into a lie. And now they worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forevermore. And now we're in a real bad predicament. Can't feel. Rejected God, changed the truth about it. They've so bastardized the concepts of God, talk of him in evil terms, when he, in fact he is holy. What does it mean, by the way, to say that God is holy? You know, we genuine Christians worship God in the spirit of holiness. We worship him because he's holy. What is that? Holiness is nothing more or less than moral intelligence. Holy means morally intelligent. Unholy means you don't have moral intelligence. Let's go to a translation now. People who knew God perfectly well once upon a time, but when they didn't treat him like God, notice this, refusing to worship him, they instead trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there was no sense or direction left in their lives. These are really in bad shape. In fact, look at this. They pretended to know it all. They flaunt their intellectualism, they think. But they were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God. Can you imagine this? This God who holds the whole world in his hands. And they traded him for a cheap, figurine, that you could buy in any roadside stand. Ooh. So God said, in effect, okay, if that's what you want, then have it your way. That's what you get. So it wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen, moral pig pen, smeared with filth, filthy inside and outside. This happens because of the rejection of God and moral intelligence. One more verse on this. All this is because they treated the true God for a fake God, and they worshiped the God they made instead of the God that made them, the God that we bless and the God that blesses us. They turned in for a fake God. Why is that? Because sexuality without moral intelligence causes the rejection of God, which leads to perversion. So, this is not easy to talk about, but let's let the scriptures do the talking. Because it leads to various perversions. Remember, for this God gave them up, watch this now, to vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Whoa. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense in their error which is meet. So let's go to the translation. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women, and men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men, all lust and no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love. Emptied of God and love. Godless and loveless wretches. Now it gets worse than that, because the rejection of God doesn't only lead to perversions, but leads to something that's called reprobation. Let's take a look at scripture. They didn't want to retain God, all right, in their knowledge, so God gave them over to, now watch this now, now this new condition, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Okay, watch it now. So let's talk about this reprobation. It's a disfigurement of a person evidenced by the rejection of truth and an adherence to folly. Wow. What is reprobation? Except when a person gets into this condition where they no longer know the difference between right and wrong. In fact, I think I'll put that in my notes and take a look. Yep. Lacking deference between good and evil, right and wrong. They can't tell the difference. They put good for evil and evil for good. And God says about that, whoa, you're in trouble. So watch, they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So they get a reprobate mind where they can no longer know moral intelligence, right from wrong. Now this condition of reprobation leads to a hellishness of great significance. So here's what Scripture says. That they were filled with all unrighteousness. And now starts a list. And the first one is fornication. It comes from the Greek word, which is porneo, pornography. Okay. So now, because they rejected God, they are full of everything that he would have kept out of their lives. Fornication. Wickedness, covetousness, wanting what everybody else has, which belongs to somebody else. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. I want it. Maliciousness. Ah. No longer are we gentle and kind and caring, except selectively. Full of envy. I want that man's wife. I like that chick. I like that. Ah. Murder, debate, deceit. This is not a nice list, is it? Right? Malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. This is what happens. They get filled with this, right? Proud, despiteful, boasters. They think they're really okay. Inventors of evil things. Can you imagine? Inventors of evil things. Whoa. And disobedience to parents. Now, I know this is a long list, but you really need to check it out yourself. Because it's only in checking out the whole list that you can understand how devastating it is to reject the moral intelligence of God. Because every other kind of evil has free course. But let's look at... It goes on. The list is not over with. So let's go back. Now they don't have understanding. They break their word, their covenant breakers. Yeah. Without natural affection, they hardly know what's natural anymore. Implacable means they cannot be satisfied. Insatiable, right? Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that all those that commit and do such things are worthy of death. I mean, go through the list, and that's not kind of people you want to be around. Now watch this, because they not only do this, but they have pleasure in other people that do the same thing. They get their kicks out of being evil. Not finished. Let's go back to a translation. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And all hell broke loose. Watch it now. Rampant evil. Grabbing and grasping. Vicious backstabbing. They made life hell. Hell on earth. With their envy, wanton, killing, bickering, cheating. Look at them. Mean spirit, venomous. Ah, my goodness. Forked tongue, boasters. Bullies. Swaggerers, insufferable windbags. They keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives. They ditch their parents when the parents get in the way. This is big trouble. Now, this translation makes it really plain, so let's see the rest of it. Here it is. Stupid and slimy. Cruel. Cold-blooded. And it's not as if they don't know better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face. They don't care. They don't care. Worse, look at this. This is what's happening. They hand out prizes to those who do the worst things the best. The big shot sinners get the awards. So these are some of the consequences when sexuality exists without moral intelligence. It produces all kinds of deviations. And so this is a touchy part in the teaching, because I want to touch on, I don't want to go into the details of the evil, but remember, it's light that manifests the wickedness. So here is what happens. Deviations without moral intelligence. Number one, the first one is gender competition between male and female. How stupid is that? Are women equal with men? And men equal with women? Of course, this is a silly question. They're equal in value, but different in function. Now, as somebody said, if a man ever gave birth to a baby, there would only be one baby in the world. Probably true. But watch this now, because the scriptures say that God deals with all the people. And watch this now. He does the same with the women as with the men. There is no competition. It's nobody needs to ask. Oh, let me stop for a moment and see if I can quote from a speaker of yesteryear who said that Mary, the mother of Jesus, did more for womanhood than anyone in history. She put womanhood up on a pedestal where for centuries woman has been the subject of the poet's pen, the artist's brush. Artists have tried to mix paint and pigment and canvas and put them together to display the beauty of womanhood. For centuries she's been on the pedestal. Now here's the problem. And that writer goes on to say how men have tried to pull them down off the pedestal into the gutters where men have been and shouldn't be either. And thus we have this condition. And now we've got this almost like a war zone. This is the dumbest thing I've heard of. Look at this. Women competing with to be, they don't have to compete. You're already wonderful. I hope my wife is listening to this, because she needs to know how I really think. I hope I've been telling her. And I thought this illustration would help. So they put the man up here and the woman down here. How silly is that? So then we could have the woman up here and the man down here. And that's silly too. Like, why can't we have mutual respect? Because if we did, it would look like this. Men and women equal. And before God, male and female have no characteristics that outweigh the other whatsoever. They are all one in Christ. I'm telling you, this is so delightful. In Christ's family, there can be no division into male and female. It's not, because you know what? What is a woman but a wombed man? Got it? That's simple. No need for gender competition. In fact, scriptures go on, and this is what they say, that among us, you are all equal. Oh my goodness. Well, it gets worse from this, because now, without moral intelligence, deviation continues, and now we have, can you imagine, gender confusion. Well, I don't know if I'm a male or a female. Duh. The lack of moral intelligence leads to this issue, where we don't know our gender anymore, supposedly. So I'm a guy in a girl's body, or I'm a girl in a guy's body. I mean, this is like beyond the pale. And the culture is going along with it. Why? Because the culture lacks moral intelligence, generally speaking. In fact, there's a contest on. Now they want men to have access to the women's bathrooms, and the women have access to the men's bathrooms, and let's all shower together. I mean, because we've lost touch. We don't even know any longer what defines male and female. Really? Why are we in that condition? Because it's a deviation that comes when there's no moral intelligence. The third thing is, when there's no moral intelligence, relativism rules. Relativism means there's no absolutes of right and wrong. That's why the scripture says this. This is really, should be memorized. Whoa, I mean, watch out, big trouble. What? To them that call good, call evil good, and good evil. My goodness. No moral compass anymore. Compass is really important. Compass is how you know north is different than south. East is from west. A moral compass tells you what's right versus what's wrong. And now, without moral intelligence, we live in a culture that of relativism that can no longer tell the difference between right and wrong. This is indeed a travesty. The next thing that happens is that there is an obsession with sexual addictions. People think sex, sex, sex all the time. In fact, it says that they shall be held with the cords of their sins. Addiction. Addiction. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. Oh my. He devises mischief. Look at this now. Upon his bed. And he sets himself in a way that is not good. He abhors not evil. And so what do we get? Sexual addictions of every almost inexplicable diversities. Now, the next thing that happens, the next deviation because of a lack of moral intelligence is the development of abnormal social developments. So watch this now, for the scripture says, don't be deceived about this. Watch it now. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so, with all of our science and electronic devices today, the possibilities of contamination are exceedingly great. But remember, evil companionships, associations, look at this. This is the translation. They corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character are going to be lost. In fact, It gets worse than that. And we end up with all forms of sexual harassment. How? Because we've got these addictions and these perversions that now drive us, and now we can't keep our hands off of people inappropriately. You know, social distance isn't just a medical good idea. It's a good social idea. Affairs don't start in hotel rooms. They start in conversations. What a tragic thing that we now, the Me Too movement, my goodness. Because over and over again, we have harassments. Why? Because the harassers are out of control, sexually perverted and addicted. I want to move on to another one. In another area, rather, of the same abnormal social developments. And here's the idea in Scripture in the book of Revelation, in the last days, there would be trafficking in the souls of men. Oh, my goodness, what is that? And so now we have human trafficking. Oh my. Do you see, can you grasp with me how unthinkable some of these things are? That for $5,000 in New York City, you can buy a little girl. And that human trafficking has become massive. And probably what's probably the worst thing about it is it affects children. We'll get to that. Another deviation because of the lack of moral intelligence is widespread proliferation of pornography. Look at what the scripture says again. Filled with unrighteousness, fornication, remember the Greek word is porneo, wickedness and covetousness. And now it's everywhere. Now it's not very far away. You can get it quick. And in fact, you can sit as men do and stare and women stare at it until they are totally obsessed. Now, what's the solution to that, by the way? The solution is, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Ah. Now, watch this, because it goes on to say, I hate the work of those, ready, that turn aside, those that are trying to attract me into the pornographic industry that shall not cleave to me. Now, it's kind of interesting because Job made a covenant with his eyes. Look at this. Smart thing to do. Watch here now. He made a covenant with his eyes and he said, why then should I think upon a maid? I'm going to stop it right here. I need to stop it. So I'm not going to look. And that's why the scripture gives us the style, the methods of conquering this thing. Here's what it says. Flee. Run away. Fornication. Flee from it. Flee. Every sin that a man does is outside of his body, but he that committeth fornication, porneo, sins against his own body. So let thine eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. And let thy ways be established. Don't get off track. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Or rather, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. remove thy foot from evil. My, what good advice this is. The problem right now, and can I spend a moment personally with you and ask you this question? Do you watch pornography? By the way, it's not just something you watch. It can happen in here. Without, you should make it up. And if you have this issue, then I want to recommend that you go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org, or you can find it on YouTube. How to Live Without Lust. It's a three-step, three-part teaching on how to live without lust. I hope you'll avail yourself of it. Now, it gets worse. Because after the pornography thing, look at this. The innocence of children is destroyed. Now, I want to see what Jesus said about children. He said, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But look at this. Whoa, watch out. Woe to him through whom they come. Uh-oh. Woe to him through whom they come. Watch this now. It were better for him, it would be better to deal with the person who is going to bring the downfall of children in any way, that a millstone were hanged about his neck, a heavy weight, and that he be cast into the sea, rather than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, I love Jesus. I love what, when he's, you know, the disciples were shooing the children away. They wanted to come to Jesus. And Jesus says, stop doing that. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I wish we had time for that one. So he would take them up in his arms and he blessed them. He'd turn them back to their parents, their mother, and bring and bless another one. You can tell the moral condition of a culture by how it treats children. By the way, you can also tell the cultural condition by how women are treated. You can tell the cultural condition by how valuable human life is perceived. Wherever you go to a country where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached and lived, the value of human life goes up. You get God out of here, you get Jesus out of the picture, and the value of human life goes down. In fact, let's just kill them before they even get here. And the move on now is to kill them even after they get here, like they do in several other countries. So what we've really got, in effect, is a war on children. A war on children, if you can imagine such a thing. Back to the scripture. Communication. Evil communication. Corrupt good manners. So the war on children comes through several different means, methods. One, online. Exposure. Scripture says, awake to righteousness is sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. The introduction of all kinds of child abuse. In fact, some of the photos I thought I should use, I had to put them aside. They are so devastating. The apostle says, This is a shame how we're treating children. let's both husband and wife work and we'll let the kids shift for themselves. My goodness. This is indeed a travesty. What's happening to children? Let's go back to that verse again. Awake, thou that sleepest, and sin not, because some don't have the knowledge of God. They don't have moral intelligence. And so what happens? Children are robbed of role models. They are devalued. They're leftovers. They're subject to incest. If you can imagine, they're trying to get it. So now the pedophile can mess with a child, and the present government says, let's lower the jail time for it. Let's get rid of it. And let me tell you, friends, where this is heading: to the legalization of pedophilia. Get the consent down to 12 so that a father can, I hate to say these things out loud, being sexually involved with his 12-year-old daughter. And you know, if that becomes legal, then the 2 years leading up to the 12th year, he's setting that girl up. We need to weep over these things. So children are subject to incest. The suicide rate among children skyrocketing. And some of them are just sold into slavery. Sometimes not for money, but just for privilege. Deviations without moral intelligence occur. So here's a big one. Adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's God's point of view, by the way. That's what moral intelligence says. Zero adultery. Of course, years ago, can you imagine this? Years ago, the legal system in this culture we live in now said you can't post the Ten Commandments anymore. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Can't put that in the classroom. And we created a moral vacuum, an absence of moral intelligence. And then the courts began to side with men who wanted to ditch their wives. Desert, right? Walk out on wife and children. Desert. In the military, if you did that in a war zone, the penalty is death. Thou shalt not commit adultery has devastating consequences. Fidelity is morally intelligent. So it comes now, let's see what the scripture says. The Lord hath been a witness between thee and thy wife of thy youth. This now, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously with your wife. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Uh-huh. And watch this, because now God's asking a question. He says, and did not he, God, make husband and wife to be one, the two shall become one? Now watch the question. Second question. Wherefore, or why does God want a man and a woman to be one and stay one all of their lives? Why? Watch now. That he might seek a godly seed. Children who will have moral intelligence. So now the scriptures are going to tell us how to respond to the man who's tempted to ditch his wife and children. Look at this. First step, take heed to your spirit, your heart, your real you. Step two, let none of you deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Stop the abuse. Stop treachery. Take heed to your spirit again, and don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away. For one covers violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. I don't want you to miss this. Adultery is a violent act. Divorce is a violent act. So God knows that. And so this is what he says. He says, I don't like putting away, but here's what you're doing. You're covering up the violence as with a garment. You're making out like it's a friendly, right thing to do. For shame. It's an evidence. It's a violent act. It's a violent act. It brings the destruction of family. Watch now. Can you imagine that? We cover up the violence. We think it's okay. One covers the violence as with a garment. And we try to make our children believe that too. But this is the violence. I want you to take a look at it. This is violence. So the adulterer, the fornicator, the deserter, the divorcer is willing to take the family and chop it up into pieces. And argue that this is a moral thing to do. But God says you better take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously or there's going to be big trouble. I've just concluded part one with all the problems that come from a lack of moral intelligence as it relates to sexuality. I don't want you to end there. I want you to get part two, because that's where the solutions are. And they're simple, quick to grasp, and very doable. So I hope that you will get on with part two, where we deal with the subject of how moral intelligence actually affects sexuality. What is the right way for sex?